We want to jump right in with the follow to the California shooting, the mass shooting that occurred. There's a live news conference going on now with Jeff Dean, the Ventura County Sheriff. Let's listen in.
How much time has expired from the first shot?
Not as far as we know at this point. He could have, but we don't know.
Any indication that he may have been targeting employees of the establishment?
Now, there's no indication that he targeted the employees, or we haven't found any correlation. We'll probably know more after we execute the search warrant at his house that maybe there was a motive for this particular night, but at this point, we have no information leading to that at all.
Sure. Were the security personnel part of the
accounts from different witnesses of what this guy was wearing? Can you tell us what, based on what you already know, what he was wearing and his direction of travel once he walked into the car?
All I know about his direction of travel is he went in and he turned right and fired at the employees that were standing there. He was, my best recollection from 7 hours ago, he was wearing a black sweater, and I don't remember what color pants he was wearing. I apologize. We went inside. He was not.
How long before the first shot?
2.5 minutes.
Did he use smoke bombs?
We haven't confirmed whether he used a smoke bomb, but we have a couple witnesses that have alluded to that.
So, Sheriff, there's no reason to believe that there was anything wrong with this person before this happened.
Well, you can say there's no reason to believe it, but, I mean, obviously he had something going on in his head that would cause him to do something like this. So he obviously had some sort of issues.
Is he a Thousand Oaks resident?
Inside the bar?
No.
Was the security guard that was shot
in the bar? Do you know of any pre-existing relationship
no.
with this bar?
It was not armed.
No.
Was anybody armed in the bar that we know of?
Not that we know of.
Is he from Thousand Oaks?
We know of any pre-existing relationship with this bar. Why this particular location?
There's no connection as of yet.
We know how this...
Yeah, we don't know. We know that once Sergeant Helis and the Highway Patrol officer engaged him, the shooting inside stopped. So we don't know if he then went back in the office and shot himself or how that really transpired.
And the suspect lives in Thousand
Oaks. He lives in Newbury Park.
Sheriff, why do you think this keeps happening in the United States of America and not in comparable rich democracies?
That's a pretty challenging question. I think we see unfortunate, horrific actions that happen all over the world, and I don't know if it happens more in the United States or doesn't.
Well,
I'd have
does.
To read the stats.
It does. Why do you think that is?
Well, I don't know. If I knew the answer to that, I'd do something to stop it.
Can you talk about the training that Sergeant Helis and the other members of law enforcement have for an active shooter situation just like this and how that helped when they arrived on the scene?
Well, as we talked about at the wee hours of the morning, post the Columbine shooting, how we approach active shooters changed completely. Instead of waiting and surrounding and bringing our SWAT team, the officers are to immediately engage and try to stop the target and stop the killing. And that's exactly what happened here.
Do you believe they helped save lives?
There's no doubt that they saved lives by going in there and engaging with the suspect. Who knows? We don't know how many people there. I've heard anywhere from 150 to 200 people in there. So this, not that by any means the loss of 13 lives is good, but it could have been much, much worse.
How many people were employees and how many people that were in the bar?
I don't know.
Is it your belief that this was random, or do you think he was targeting, even though you don't know who or what it might be?
Well, I don't think it was random. He's a resident of this area, and I would have to, common sense would speculate that there's some reason he went here. He probably knew about it, but I don't think it was just, it's not like he was driving down the freeway and decided I'm going to get off here.
Do you believe he targeted any specific victims inside of that?
There's nothing to lead us to believe that actually happened.
Now, are there any commonalities
of the heroics performed by people inside, saving some 30 people? What do you want to say about that?
It's just amazing. There were probably 6 off-duty police officers in there. From a couple different agencies, and I've already talked to a parent that came up and said they stood in front of my daughter. So it was amazing. It was amazing.
How many people injured?
advice to people right now? What sort of your word to this community as a leader is coming?
You know, when I went and spoke at a Jewish synagogue after the tragedy on the East Coast, and when I talked to the parishioners there, I just followed up on the rabbi, I said, we've got to do something about the hate, and we've got to do something to just spread the love and reach out and help people and be patient with them and understand them, because this will touch so many lives around our community.
Sheriff, any indication of social media that he may have been using where he was complaining about something?
There's nothing to indicate that, but we are looking at his social media sites, which I'm sure all of you are also.
Did any of the officers engage him at all?
Been listening to a news conference here from Jeff Dean. I think we've gleaned about all we're going to get from the significant information that has come to us so far. Jeff Dean is the Ventura County Sheriff. For those of you who may not have heard, overnight, sadly, another mass shooting. This time, 29-year-old suspect who killed 12 people. This was student night at a country bar. Ultimately, this suspect killed himself after hurling smoke grenades onto the dance floor, and he also killed an officer. Now, you heard the account that he gave here that this is not surprising at all. He said there were 6 off-duty officers inside this establishment, 6 of them, and he said one of them literally stood in front of one of the people in the bar. This is what law enforcement officers do. They put their lives on the line and even off duty. Here is the example of one person putting his life literally on the line for another person. The information we've gleaned today in the past few minutes, apparently he had a Glock 21 with an extended magazine that was legally purchased. And right now they're in the midst of still trying to identify the victims in this shooting. Again, 12 people who have been killed here, and we understand this investigation is ongoing. The mystery here, at this point, the mystery is the motive behind this. At this point, we don't have a clear motivation, though the sheriff is saying he does not believe that this attack was random. He opened fire at this bar. It was 11:20. This would have been Pacific time, dressed in all black, let off at least 30 shots from a pistol, also let off smoke grenades to confuse the crowds, killed himself after killing 11 people inside the bar and a sheriff's sergeant who responded to the scene. 100 people in there, 100 people, including some under 21 who were there to dance. So, again, our condolences to those families who've lost loved ones. And we, of course, hope that the others who were injured will recover quickly. We'll continue to follow this story. If there are any new developments on this, we will certainly pass those on to you. Right here, much more news to cover, a lot to cover on this broadcast today. Stay with us. Back of the Vince Coakley radio program, we started off talking about this horrible shooting that happened out in California. The sheriff, Jeff Dean, you heard him say that we've got to do something about hate, which is kind of interesting here because I'm curious as to, at this point, we don't know the motivation behind this. We're not sure whether mental illness could have been a factor. What was the motivation here? And I find it interesting, and even in this occasion, that a sheriff, law enforcement official, if he's talking about having a conversation with a rabbi in light of the synagogue shooting, and I'm just raising this as a question. This, again, is not political. This is purely about protecting people. Yes, we need to address hate, but at the same time, don't we need to prepare ourselves and provide the means necessary to protect innocent lives? That's what I'm looking for a sheriff to have a conversation about. Conversation for a sheriff. The sheriff is not there. I don't need to come and do social engineering or to do counseling. Am I missing something here, guys? Is that insensitive of me to say? You know, those of us who are, whether it's in ministry or whatever it is, those are the conversations that need to take place about addressing societal ills. Those are the things we've got to deal with and talk about. And all of us as individuals, we all have that responsibility. But law enforcement, talk to us about how we can protect ourselves, what we can do before you arrive. This is where I have a great deal of respect for David Clark. Remember Sheriff David Clark, who communicated, you need to be your own first responder. And again, this is not about politics, not about politics at all. It's about safety. You're right. You're absolutely right, John. Let's go out to a call from Sean. Good morning, Sean.
So what you're saying is, I'm going to make my comment, but what you're saying is when people go out just to enjoy this time, have a good time, everybody needs to have a gun. Is that, I mean, that's what
No, I'm not saying everybody needs to have a gun. I'm saying everybody needs to have a plan. They need to be cognizant of the possibility something like this could happen anywhere. And how you do that, Sean, is your business. It's between you and your maker and your conscience. But exactly. We all need to think about that, is what I'm saying.
That's true. But my main point was, as I call you, told you, Serena, and a lot of your listeners ain't going to like this, but we have a problem with Caucasian people killing each other, killing. The last 2 weeks, and we can go back to Las Vegas last year, all these killings is being by Caucasians. And they're killing a lot of people. They're not just killing, you know, y'all talk about this black-on-black crime. They may just kill one or two, but when Caucasians start killing, and like I told my family, sometimes I have to look around now to look at Caucasian people to see what they have. Is anybody with a gun to mentally shoot? So that's what it is now, and we need to address that too. Not just, you know, everybody be scrapped, but we need to address, it's a lot of Caucasians out here.
Okay, you've already said that, Sean. So how do you address the issue of all these Caucasians who are carrying out these mass shootings? How do you address that in advance?
I mean, for one, you ain't going to like this. You know, everybody's the Second Amendment. So what you're saying, everybody needs to have a gun. I mean, that's how you curve it. It's the Second Amendment, freedom, you can carry a gun. So everybody needs to just be scrapped. So whenever you try to go out with enjoy time with your kids, and your family, just be careful. We can't go out and have a nice dinner, folks. I got to have my gun, son, because these people, days and now, are just crazy.
Is that what you're going to do now, Sean?
I don't scrap, but it's looking like I need to probably take a class now because right now, a lot of Caucasian people want to kill everybody. They don't care who they are.
Sean. So, all right.
I'm just saying, just look at the facts. For the last month, just look at the facts. That's all you got to say. And I'm sure a lot of your callers will say you're racist, but sometimes you got to look at the facts. Have a good and blessed day.
All right, Sean. Great to talk with you. You are entitled to your perspective. So he has certainly offered it here, has he not? Mark out of China Grove, good morning. Hello, Mark. You got to turn the radio off. We'll try to come back to you. David in the sprawling metropolis of Midland. Good morning, David.
Vince, I carry my gun everywhere I go, everywhere. If I go to church on Sunday, it's in my vest pocket. I go nowhere without it. You've got to rely on nobody but yourself. You can't rely on the government. You can't rely on the policeman. You have to be responsible for yourself and look after you and your own. That's the only thing we can do in this country anymore. There's so many dad-blamed crazy people, and it has nothing to do with guns. If they would take half the people in this country off the psychotic medicines they push on, the pharmaceutical industry pushes on them to drive them crazy, you know, that's a big part of our problem.
Well, you've touched on something that, yes, needs to be addressed. And have you heard extensive conversations about this drug issue at all after these recent shootings?
No, you don't hear much about it.
Yeah,
the pharmaceutical industry controls this country. Big business, big pharmaceutical. They control the lobbyists. How much money do these lobbyists throw to all these congressmen and senators? You know, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I understand your concern. I appreciate your call there, David. And this is something that doesn't get a lot of attention. Again, I just made a note to self because I want to explore this subject a little bit further. Over on the text line, how do we know the California shooter was right? White? We do know that now. I don't think he was. If he was, we would have heard about it. Well, it is true. Based on his call, we need to take the Don Lemon approach and start locking up old white men, the texter says. That guy knows racism means to blame someone's action on skin color, right? Killers come in all colors, and you should have called him out on that. I don't think I need to. I'm counting on all of you, and I think you detected enough of the skepticism in my voice. I don't need to preach at everybody. Is it not apparent? Though, what is, and sometimes I just let people go. And I think you guys know how to judge and discern these things for yourselves. Sean's racism against me and mine scares me. I understand your concern. Sean is a racist, therefore judging, literally judging people by the color of their skin. Bitter racist, period. Not unusual to have these perspectives offered about Sean. It was said there were about six off-duty officers in the bar. Do you know if any of them were armed? See, Tina, that's one of the questions I have, and I'm kind of surprised there wasn't a follow-up question to the sheriff on that very issue. Kind of intriguing. Maybe there was not the opportunity there to ask that. John, you got a little less than a minute, sir.
Okay, really quick. Yeah, I was talking to my grandparents. They grew up in the 50s. They were saying something has really changed in society because back in the 50s, guns were available everywhere, but there was no inclination to use them. And also, too, I was talking to my neighbor, Fort Mill. He's his cousin's a policeman in Chicago. They had 300 murders in Chicago this year, but that hardly gets any press. The inner cities is a problem, but nobody seems to be interested in.
Yep, and we don't want to talk about the root causes either. And I think, can we mostly agree, and I think you would agree with this, John, what's happened is a cultural problem. That's what's wrong.
Yes.
That's what's happened. There's been a decline. I appreciate your perspective there. It's not new. We've been talking about this every single solitary time one of these things happens. We'll try to get more of your calls in a bit. Also, finally, a concession in one very important congressional race. We will talk with the winner in that race coming up right here. Back to the Vince Coakley radio program. We'll take more of your calls a little bit later on. I want to go to a developing story, and it's developing because even though this is the day after Election Day, we actually have an election that was finalized yesterday evening because the candidate who apparently got the lower count in votes was a little bit reluctant to concede the race, but he has finally done so now, referring to North Carolina's 9th congressional district. The candidates in that particular race, Dan McCready, the Democrat, was running against Mark Harris. Yesterday evening, Dan McCready conceded to our guest, who we now congratulate, Mark Harris. Welcome back to the broadcast. Very excited for you, sir.
Well, thank you so much, Vince. It's great to be with you this morning.
Now, what was your sense about this, you know, in the hours before you actually got the concession? Were you pretty confident of these numbers or there wouldn't be any challenge?
Well, we were. We were confident of those numbers, that we were, I think, 1,860 votes ahead with all 100% of the precincts reporting. And we, of course, were working yesterday just to kind of see what ballots were still out there after we didn't get a concession on election night. And so we had looked at the numbers and felt confident. And so we held a press conference yesterday at 2:00 just to basically say that we were moving forward. And we were grateful that the folks of the 9th district had spoken. And Mr. McCready had certainly been doing the same, and I understand that. I told him when he called, and he thanked me for my patience as he was going through the numbers. I told him, I said, well, Dan, I've been on the other side of that, in losing an election, in my case, by 134 votes in a primary. And so I understand you have to look through all of those numbers and for the opportunity, and I'm just very grateful that things turned out as they did.
What would you like to say to those who voted for your opponent?
Well, one of the things that we certainly have been wanting to say and get the message out, and I shared this with Dan. I said, you know, when the dust settles here and hopefully in early December, I'd love the opportunity for you and I to maybe sit down and have a cup of coffee without any of the politicos around and just be able to talk. And he had certainly been gracious and offered to help me in any way that he could. And so, you know, I think it's important for everybody in the 9th District to understand that we've been through the election process. We feel like the voters have spoken. And I want to do my best now as a congressman to fulfill the promises I made. And I want to be a representative for all the citizens of the 9th District. And I'm going to just do my dead level best to really and truly represent this district, to meet the needs of constituents as I can, and those issues that they face with the federal government, that I can help them cut through some of the red tape. We just want to be there for folks here.
We're talking with Mark Harris, the newly elected congressman for the 9th District in North Carolina. I want to ask you, I doubt that you had an opportunity to hear my conversation with Congressman Jeff Duncan yesterday, who was reelected. By the way, have you met Jeff?
I have met Jeff.
Okay.
I met Jeff probably over a year ago.
Excellent.
Great guy.
Very glad to hear that. And the landscape has certainly changed since you and I talked last, because now we're in a situation where you're going to go in with a House that will be run by Democrats. And there's a desperate need, and Jeff Duncan and I were talking about this yesterday. Now more than ever, there's going to be a need for strong leadership. In fact, one of the first things that will have to happen is an election for a minority leader. Have you given a lot of thought to this particular issue?
We've given some thought to it. To be honest, we've been so focused on getting to November 6th and winning the election. And then even we had that extended, as you know, by one day yesterday that we were focused on that. This morning, I've been giving interviews and talking with various media outlets. And my hope is to really kind of bear down over the weekend, look at that issue, and then I'll be going to D.C. Early next week to be a part of new member orientation. And it's my understanding, I think I'm correct in this, that we will actually caucus early next week and will choose a minority leader during that time. So I'm very anxious over the weekend to come to that conclusion and feel, you know, feel very positive that we're going to have a strong leader with a strong voice as we deal with the issues that are in front of us.
Now, one of the questions I'm curious, and I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, we've not talked about this before. How about conservative credentials? How much will that figure into your consideration for the speaker?
Oh, it will definitely figure in considerably. I mean, I want someone that that really recognizes the process, that recognizes the importance of conviction and conservative passion, really. And I think that's one of the key things. A lot of folks can talk about being conservative, but I think it's the conservative passion that you're looking for in a leader that understands that we want to keep this agenda for front and center, and we want to continue to speak to it. I think we're going to have to begin to build. I'm anxious in seeing the landscape when we get up there, because Vince, a lot of folks may be missing the point that there's going to be an extremely large group in the freshman class that's coming up because of number of retirements, because of folks that lost in this election or lost in their primary. And I haven't heard that exact number yet, but I do understand it's significant. And I think it's going to be important to try to build relationships and figure out where those folks that we can find that share our conservative principles in certain ways that we can get some things done.
We only have about a minute left in this segment. Is there any particular group that you anticipate working with when you go to D.C.?
Well, I've made it clear that I have the utmost respect for the Freedom Caucus and utmost respect for the seriousness with which they've approached fiscal responsibility. And while I think most of them were certainly supportive of the tax cuts, as was I, they were very disturbed by the omnibus bills and the spending that went on in early 2018. And that became a very strong campaign issue for me that I felt like we had to demonstrate fiscal responsibility. And if you cut taxes, you've got to cut spending. You can't increase spending.
So can I quickly get you on record that you do not support these omnibus bills?
Yes, you'll get me on record of that.
Well, thank you.
I'll do everything to try to pass.
I'm so glad to hear that. So glad to hear that. Sure. We're actually out of time, but we must talk again very soon and also off air. Look forward to connecting with you again, Mark Harris. Again, our congratulations on winning this hard-fought contest, and we look forward to catching up with you again very soon, sir.
Thank you, Vince. Appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah, God bless you. Much more as we continue the broadcast. In fact, we have a little bit of unfinished business, something I didn't get to yesterday, a candidate for minority leader. We're going to share that and much more as we continue the broadcast. Stay with us. Oakley Radio Program. Love to get your thoughts on the conversation with Mark Harris. When he said Freedom Caucus, I thought, yes! And please, and I just implore you, please pray for Mark Harris. Because I've got to tell you, I've watched another friend who went to Congress several years ago, and it was a little rocky at the beginning, and it took a little time to find his footing. Because you know what? These establishment people will be in his ear. I'm sure they're already in his ear. So pray for him. And those of you who are in the ninth, you need to help hold him accountable as friends. Not in a hostile way, but just watch him. Pray for him. Now, when I say watch him, I'm not saying from a hostile standpoint, well, I'm going to wait for him to make a mistake so I can suck him, you know? No. Watch him from the standpoint of, you know, just keep an eye on him. And if he looks like he may be swaying a bit or whatever, you know, more than anything, pray for him. But send him a kind note and say, you know what? I'm a little concerned here. By the way, this is a good time to insert this. I had a situation to deal with that this morning. And this is the way I've always approached things. I've gone through the Peacemaker materials, by the way. Boy, there's so many parenthetical things here. I have parentheses to my parentheses. That really gets bad with my ADHD mind. But you'll understand where I'm going. By the way, Faith Focus Friday, we already had the current leader of Peacemakers on the program. This coming Friday, as in tomorrow, we will have the founder of Peacemakers on. He has started something entirely different, but it's very much related. Here's where I'm going with this. I had a situation to deal with just this morning. And, you know, and one of the things I do, the scripture says there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. And a lot of times what I'll do, I'll just ask a friend and say, hey, this is what I'm dealing with. What are your thoughts? And they had some really, and it wasn't anything new. The person just helped to remind me. And I do this all the time. Whenever there's a potential conflict or a problem, go in a spirit of inquiry. It's like John. Let's give you an example. Let's say John did something, and I think John screwed up. So, John, you're a screw-up.
What?
Now, that's, now, what's going to happen if I come to you like that?
I feel bad. Like, I'd be like, what did I do? I'd get defensive.
I thought you'd punch my lights out.
Too. No, I'm nonviolent, Vince.
You know what I do? I come and say, John, did this happen in this way?
I would say, absolutely. Urgh. No, that's a good way to come to me.
And I approach in a spirit of inquiry, not in a spirit of, did you screw that up? You know, and the interesting thing is, by approaching this in the spirit of inquiry, the situation I'm describing, had a very pleasant conversation with the person, and it's going to be followed up later on.
You can lose a friend or keep a friend.
Yes, if you've missed nothing from this, if you've got nothing from this broadcast today, that's worth the price of admission. If you've got a situation to address, go in a spirit of inquiry, not of accusation. And I'm talking about if you see somebody red-handed do something, go in a spirit of inquiry. That's the best starting place. And if somebody's got a problem, they've done something wrong, you've got an opportunity to come in a redemptive way and help the situation rather than just starting a conflict over. And so then you've got two problems. You had the original problem, and now you got a conflict on top of that. Now, who's that going to help? And I know this is going to offend a lot of people. Do not make a religion out of being right. This is something that I have been going through just years and years of pharisectomies over this. Making a religion out of being right. Well, this needs to be made right. Okay, that's great. How do you get there? Again, do you go in a spirit of inquiry and try to help the situation, or do you go in with accusation? Makes all the difference in the world. So that was my point about Mark Harris. And I say this across the board of other members of Congress, too. And I think it's very appropriate to go and ask someone, can you tell me why you have a 55 Liberty score? Why should I trust you? You go out and you talk about all these conservative things. When push comes to shove, I see you with your head so far up Paul Ryan's rear end, I don't know where one starts and the other ends. You know, that's not going to be helpful to put it that way. You can think that, but go and you. But there is a way to ask that question. Can you tell me why you have this Liberty score? I think that's a fair question, and in that spirit. So you have to say the right thing in the right spirit. Any case, go out to call to a Mark in China Grove. Good morning.
Yes, what a beautifully way that you put things, and I really admire you for what you just said.
Thank you.
As far as the religion of being right, there is a religion of being right, and Christ lived that religion, and he is the right. But let me address something with Mark Harris. First, I voted for him. And the man's words clearly said this: I was called by God. I felt a pulling that he was calling me. Well, Mark Harris, I want to challenge you with something, my friend, that regardless of what you do, it's not important until we address. We had a Republican president, a Senate, and a House. But yet we still kill babies, and we're still funding abortion to the tune of $500 million a year. And every politician that claims to be a conservative or Republican says, you know, the right to life. But until we can get this right, Mark Harris, then anything else you do does not matter. We're a country that are murdering children.
Yep, I get it, Mark. I fully get it. And I appreciate what you've shared, because I've said this before, many in this party, they're frauds. They have no intention of pulling the plug on this funding. Stay with us.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.